was a better person than I knew I was.
Hey, folks, let's spend some time with friends up north. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News is on Lake Wissota. Sarah Yacoub with the Minocqua Brewing Company Super Pack is on the Mississippi River. And up on Lake Minocqua is Kirk Bangstad of the Minocqua Brewing Company. Wherever you are, welcome. You're up north.
Won't you let me die happy?
Hello and welcome to the Up North Podcast. I'm Kirk Bangstad.
I'm Sarah Yacoub.
I'm Pat Kreitlow, and on the show this week, a bombshell, which you would expect from bomb throwers. We will talk about the leaked document indicating that the U.S. Supreme Court is about to overturn Roe v. Wade. And later, one of the last moderate Republicans who used to be in the state Senate, Dale Schultz, talks about what happened to his old party.
And we have some good news. There's a moderate Republican candidate, quite the unicorn these days, running to the left of right wing up north, Congressman Tom Tiffany, in the August primary. We'll visit with Ty Cornelius in just a little bit.
But first, of course, we have to get to the Supreme Court controversy and visit with our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, the legislative director in the Upper Midwest for the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and an old friend of the show. Welcome back, Kristen. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Chris. Kristen, you know, we've talked a lot about trying to help Wisconsin out, and we've, you know, sat around and had good wine together and tried to put our heads together on what we could do. And you texted me when you heard about this thing, you know, the leaked decision. Mm-hmm. And you were just sad, and I was sad, and we were angry, and I was like, we got to get you on. We just got to talk about this, even though this wasn't part of our show today. We got to talk about it. So, what's going on over there? What are your patients saying? You know, what is the obstetric community saying? What's going on?
So this really isn't a surprise. We have been anticipating this. We knew something was going to happen. We know what the nature of the court is, and Wisconsin is in such a unique situation. Because depending on what their judgment was, and this still could be the case, but it seems more likely we know what's going to happen. But Wisconsin could either become a state where abortion is completely outlawed and it's a felony, or where we would be a haven state and we would be able to do some abortions. Now, the whole upper Midwest, like Illinois, is going to be a haven state. People are going to be able to go to Illinois. They've made it very easy for women to obtain the health care that they need. And Minnesota is similarly easy, but Wisconsin is just so tricky. So when this ruling came down, I think we were in a way relieved to know what we had to prepare for, but it was still a terrible gut punch. And not just for those of us who are trying to take care of patients, but I think for women all over the country. We've known that this has been in the balance for a long time, but to know that this truly is being taken away from us, it defies understanding.
Well, and you know, what we're hearing from the talking heads on Fox News is, well, if you don't like it, just move. And what a privileged, ugly thing to say to hardworking, working class people who don't have that luxury. They can't get up and move. And then add on top of it, all the wait lists. So then you have mm-hmm. to get there and then wait a couple days. It's just cruel.
Or folks in the military, for example,
yes.
that we've heard from them as well. They mm-hmm. don't have that luxury.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, they can't pay, they can't afford to get up and move. They can't afford to come back for their second day, which is, by the way, not a necessary appointment. I mean, all of this should be able to be done in one day, but they can't even afford to come back for their second day visit because they can't scrape up $200. I heard that 3 times yesterday.
Ugh.
These people, I mean, it's food or an abortion. And if they can't afford their abortion, then what happens? They're 4 times more likely to end up in poverty. We've got data that shows that. This is not good for women. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for our entire country.
Well, and looking at Justice Alito's opinion, it feels like they said the quiet part out loud. And I think that was the hardest mm-hmm. part. Like, it's one thing to say, you know, we just love babies so much. Every baby must be born. We're all a bunch of forced birthers. Okay, fine. But when he's relying on Sir Matthew Hale, who was a judge who not only burned women at the stake for being a witch, but who also did not believe in marital rape. So once you get married, you are property in this guy's eyes. And that's Justice Alito's hill to die on. And then if that's not enough, he goes into case law that gives us interracial marriage, that gives us gay marriage, that gives us some foresight of where they are going. And oh my gosh, I mean, they're literally legally taking us back to property in a way that is just horrifying.
We have to be able to translate that so that it is understandable by the general public, so that people will stand up and say, I'm not going to take this anymore. So that women and men who support us, which is most men, will vote and understand how we are moving in the wrong direction, not just for women, but for everyone.
So it's crazy, Kristen. So, you know, I'm actually dating an OBGYN as well. She was on our show. So I've been talking about this nonstop in the last 3 days. And the community is actually starting to talk about, you know, how doctors can get away with providing women this health care and not lose their medical licenses in different states. You know, like it's actually come to the point where, you know, it's like their OBGYNs, you know, might be forced into the black market, you know, to provide the care that women need during this time. And it's makes me feel like I'm in a third world country right now.
Not just OBGYNs, but there's so much information on the internet. Midwives are stepping into this arena. People are doing self-managed abortions, and they're figuring out how to do it surgically, how to do it medically, where they can get their medications from overseas or from states that are willing to provide it. This is a whole different industry. And now we're seeing a whole different set of problems. People showing up in the emergency department and getting grilled about, what do you mean this is a miscarriage? Tell me about, did you have a medicine? Where did you get the medicine? We just had this the other day at work, a detective calling because he was hunting down where a woman had gotten a medication so that she could induce her own abortion.
This is something we're going to see a lot more of. And other people have made the point before me, but you know, law enforcement is noteworthy in how local it is in terms of the degree of power that somebody chooses to exert. In other words, we're going to hear about, you know, the sheriff in, you know, Shawano County who decides to go after, you know, a woman because of a rumor he heard. Or Kristen, the law enforcement officer that goes after you because they think that something that you prescribed isn't quite right. And there's nothing to stop a sheriff, a police chief, a rogue district attorney, and it's not going to stop at abortion. It is going to go right to contraception next. And I mean, you, I, and a few others here are old enough to remember when, you know, for the younger folks in our audience, contraception wasn't always as widely available legally as it is now, right?
In my lifetime, contraception wasn't available for unmarried women. It was illegal for unmarried women to obtain contraception in the 70s. So we are really headed in the wrong direction. Law enforcement doesn't want to get involved. They don't want to touch this.
Most of them don't, but there's always somebody like that Racine County sheriff, you know, who wants to make a name for himself. So that's what we're going to have to face. That's what every doc is going to have to face. Every provider, every woman.
As a woman who's experienced the trauma of a miscarriage, and they're heartbreaking, and we don't talk about them because they're stigmatized and they shouldn't be. But the idea of mourning the loss of your child and then having to prove you didn't do it on purpose is grotesque. Add another layer. You know, I go toe-to-toe with domestic abusers daily. And so, you know, they are manipulative and deceptive. And it is not beyond them to do a Google search on the home computer and then get her back for calling the police. So say, hey, that miscarriage, she did that on purpose. Go prosecute her. And we do have those rogue DAs who are young and, you know, Sean Duffy wannabes who are trying to make a name for themselves. And it's really scary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I didn't mean to say that law enforcement wasn't going to prosecute. They will. It's a tricky situation, though, because Josh Call has said, our attorney general, that if abortion becomes illegal in Wisconsin, he won't prosecute. But that leaves a lot of gray area for who will, what's the statute of limitations, really what can we do as people who desperately want to provide care, much needed care for these women who need it.
Not to mention the partisanship that comes into it, because one of the Republican candidates for attorney general said today that he most certainly will, enforce any kind of a ban that comes up. So, again, the whole thing's been put into the political arena. But to bring it back to healthcare, you know, the people who keep telling us, well, there's no need to pass gun safety laws because that won't stop it from happening, now believe that if you pass a ban on abortion, abortions will stop happening. So, Dr. Lyerly, will getting rid of Roe v. Wade get rid of all abortions?
Getting rid of Roe v. Wade will not get rid of all abortions. And in fact, it will make abortion much more dangerous. People will die. Families will be torn apart. And it is absolutely the wrong thing to do if you actually like people.
Yeah, that's or the
care
right
about
way
life.
To tie a bow on this, to care about life. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, we sure appreciate your time. Let's do it again under happier circumstances, but we're so glad to have your information, your expertise, and thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Love hanging out with you guys. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, there's a Republican challenging Tom Tiffany for the congressional seat up north. We'll talk to Ty Cornelius about his candidacy next. You're up north.
Welcome back to the Up North podcast. We just heard a song that is a tribute to the modern day Republican Party.
Honesty, Billy Joel. The reason that we have Ty Cornelius on as a guest today is because Tom Tiffany is a congressman in the 7th Congressional District. This is Up North. It's where Minocqua Brewing Company is. And he keeps on repeating the big lie. And the big lie that Trump won Wisconsin, Trump won the election in America. And so Ty is a friend of mine. Ty and I knew each other in Minocqua. Ty is a water ski stud that's been doing this thing in the Plum Skeeters for a long time. He's been a special ed teacher. He's been a trainer of teachers at the CESA, which I don't really know what CESA stands for, but it trains teachers. And I knew Ty, and Ty reached out to me, and he's like, "Kirk, what do we do? We got a guy who wants to overthrow our country as our representative." And I was like, "I don't know, man. Like, it's really hard for Democrat to win in the Senate. It's been gerrymandered to the hilt. Like, the 7th district's been gerrymandered. Pat ran for it. I ran for it. We lost Stevens Point." I'm like, "I don't think a Democrat can win." He's like, "Well, Kirk, I'm not a Democrat." I was like, I never even talked to you about your politics, really. So I just knew you as a friend. I'm like, "No way." He's like, "I think I want to run because somebody's got to step up to this guy." And I was like, "Man, I think that's great, but I don't think I can support you, or I got a real problem supporting you, because I'm a pretty progressive guy and I'm your friend." And so, but I thought about it and I was like, this isn't about necessarily about what you call yourself, Republican or Democrat. This is about somebody who is a traitor against our country and a political system that's so screwed up that nobody that says they're a Democrat can win in this district. And so I thought about it and I was like, you know, I'm gonna do this, and I might lose customers. I sell beer to progressives, by the way. I sell progressive beer to people, and I'm like, people might never buy my beer again. The people who are my best customers, if I'm gonna endorse a Republican, but I was like, I gotta do it, because in the world we live in, it's so important to just tell the truth and to not lie and to not lie to the effect that our country could get overthrown. So that's my long-winded introduction to Ty Cornelius. Thanks for joining us, Ty.
Let's get him right into, hey, Ty, thanks for being here. Tell us a bit more about your background, why you decided to run, or the question that I think we like to hear most often as candidates when people are serious about understanding you. What's your story?
Hey, thanks. Kirk, what are you doing? What are you doing supporting this guy?
Oh, I like you, Ty. I know you're honest. You know, you don't have a lot of background in politics, which is probably a good thing at this point, at this stage in the game. So I know you're an honest guy, and that's why I'm supporting you.
Yeah. So why are you doing this?
So David for, Cornelius for Congress, Wisconsin 7th, just to get it out there. I'm named after my dad. So people call me Ty as a, family and friends. And otherwise Dave is the serious guy, David. So David is running for Congress, and I am I am running for the 7th because I represent the people here. I've been here, worked here, and I'm the man to represent and be the congressman for the 7th.
So if you're one of those unicorns, and I have no reason to think you're not, because I know plenty of them. There's actually more unicorns than we want to give credit for. And that, of course, would be moderate Republicans. And I truly believe that, because, again, I'm in Chippewa County. I'm surrounded by people who would describe themselves as moderate Republicans for reasons, of their own. We're not going to get into that. But I do believe them, and I know that they're either embarrassed about what's happening in the country nowadays, or they just tune it out. So Ty, before deciding to run, were you kind of tuning all of this out, or were you kind of on top of current events and were kind of embarrassed by what's happening with your party? And that's what made you decide to step up.
Yeah. Great question. No, I was not tuning it out. I was more tuning it in, and very concerned. Let's talk about January 2nd, 6th. Yeah, I was very concerned. I'm looking at folks that are voting, to discount, stakes, the four states. 70.
Ty, let me cut in. What did you think when Tom Tiffany, when Texas said, took us to court, Wisconsin to court, and said, wanted to invalidate our votes because they said that we had a fraudulent election, and Tom Tiffany signed on to that? How did that make you feel?
So, I followed Tom. I've known Tom for a while. Yeah, got me fired up, got me involved. When somebody, tries to, get a couple of states' elections not counted, that's why I'm here.
It's what, for folks that don't know the whole background, what Ty and Kirk are referring to is that Congressman Tiffany, signed on as a friend of a case, a lawsuit in Texas, I think by the attorney general in Texas or by. To invalidate the votes in Wisconsin and three other states. Now, of course, it was thrown out. Nobody in Texas has the right to go to court and say you have to throw out Wisconsin's vote. But the very fact that Tom Tiffany signed on supporting that was him saying, I support overturning the will of the voters in Wisconsin. It's what prompted my editorial at Up North News That said, Tom Tiffany needs to resign or be expelled from Congress. It's a position that, you know, I and other good people continue to have today. But since he's clearly not going to do that, we've got, you know, tie in the race here to keep reminding people what he's here for.
This keeps on. I mean, so not only the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel say that Tom Tiffany should resign and agreeing with Up North News, which obviously is, you know, the premier news agency in Wisconsin at the moment. But did Tom Tiffany really think that the Wisconsin voters would be that dense to not kind of turn it around when he said that votes in Wisconsin, we agreed with Texas that votes in Wisconsin should not be counted, and those very same votes got him elected. Did he really? He must have been so cynical to think that people in Wisconsin weren't smart enough to really draw that line. And that's the horror. That's the worst part about it. Is that
how does that represent the people of the seventh? That
it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't represent the people of the seventh. And that's it. Look, Ty, you've lived up here with me for a long time, and you've seen. I mean, you're a water skier. The lakes, the streams, the nature. That's why people live up here. We know Tom Tiffany has voted against everything environmental, PFAS, the shoreline protection. You've lived this environmental world. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, exactly. So, where does Tom represent us? He's not, he's voted against two bills on PFAS. He's voted against the mineral rights, up in Pinoki. What would have been great if we did mine there mercury.
No, he got rid of the mining bill. Ty, we've got a hit commercial break, but we want to thank you, and we're going to talk to you again about the campaign. Thanks for joining us to get us introduced to you. Okay, we will be. Good choice, Mr. Bankstead. Welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kirk Bankstead and Sarah Yacoub.
Our next guest is Dale Schultz, who was first elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly in 1982, 2 years before my birth, oh my goodness, as a Republican. He then went on to become a Republican state senator in 1991 and was the Republican majority leader in 2004. In 2011, Schultz was the only Senate Republican to vote against Act 10, the infamous bill that broke the back of the Wisconsin Teachers Union. In 2014, Schultz announced he would not seek re-election, citing an increasingly partisan atmosphere. Thank you so much for joining us, Senator Schultz.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for that very kind introduction. And I want to say, Pat, it's nice to see you again. You're absolutely ageless.
See, that's how we politicians, we know a thing or two here. I'm going to say I am actually very, very jealous. Dale is joining us from near the state capitol. Today was a reunion for state senators, not something that they do all the time. And I wasn't able because I was flying till late yesterday. I know we've got a lot to talk about current events, but since you're there, let's start with that, because like you were telling us during the break, it was a nice reminder of the collegiality that, ran across the aisle when you and I were serving.
Well, it was really a delightful time. And the minority leader when I was majority leader was Senator Judy Robson, and we gave each other a big hug, and she just immediately gushed about how much she appreciated me and how much she enjoyed serving with me. And I said, you know, Judy, you are a wonderful co-steward of this institution. And we managed to, I think, acquit ourselves pretty well, do a lot of things on a bipartisan basis. Yes, that we had our disagreements. I think people deserve a good argument about policy. but we kept it on policy, not letting it become personal. And that was pretty much, you know, the highlight for me of the evening, to have that high praise from a person I truly respect and enjoyed working with.
Yep, it was great working with her, and of course, plenty of folks from both sides of the aisle back in the day, as I guess we get to say right now. The one bit of somewhat off-topic editorializing I'm going to do, but I wanted you to know how much I thought of you reading a book just over a year ago called When Republicans Were Progressive, written by former Minnesota U.S. Senator Dave Durenberger. And it was again, as somebody who was born and raised in St. Paul, a fascinating history of, the Republican Party in Minnesota when it was arguably about as progressive in terms of looking out for, you know, working folks, looking out for families. And then he takes us through the journey of the, post-Watergate, Reagan era, kind of the beginning of some changes in the Republican Party. And Dale, I know you're probably sick of all the compliments by now, but I have to say, I thought of you while reading this book about the people that we could get along with, that we were both there to govern, to share the best ideas for governing, you know, rather than always looking for the next fight.
Well, I think the two of us also were there to represent everyone, whether they voted for us or not. And that's something that I think we've lost. And I think that's terrible, because everybody ought to feel like they have a connection to government. And when they don't, they fall victim to fear and grievance. And that seems to be where we're at now in this country. Politicians, instead of being aspirational, I like to tell people, I'm a Republican who still believes in the 4th of July and the Statue of Liberty, and I want everyone to do better, and I want to work with everybody to make sure that we all get ahead. And when you're constantly trying to put, you know, people back, you can't get ahead yourself, and we've lost that sense. But I think there are good people starting to step forward. Maybe they're a little rough around the edges, but I think they'll learn if they listen to the people, and they tell them sincerely that they want to work for them and with everybody to get things done. And I think you're going to be surprised in this upcoming election how well some of these people do. And your guest just on ahead of me, Ty, you know, I can remember what it was like when I first got in this business and was a little nervous and didn't quite know how to vocalize it. But, you know, you get out there with the people, they make you feel good, and pretty soon your lips get a little looser, your mind flows a little freer, and politics becomes about ideas.
Let me respond to that. I was the same way. You know, I was a politician twice, and I didn't know. All I knew, I'm a Norwegian guy who's got huge emotions, but they like there's a huge skull that just doesn't let them out in the right way sometimes, and so you know, I was just boiling over with emotions on, we got to do the right thing. And that's what a lot of us Northern Wisconsinites are. We can't really, you know, we're not orators necessarily, but we know something's wrong and we want to fix it, and we just charge ahead. So that's why I respect Ty. I know he's in it for the right reasons. I want to follow up with a conversation with you. You know, I got you on the show today because, I had to make a real political decision, and I'm not a politician. I'm a brewer first and foremost, and you know, and I've gotten into politics, and I had to make a decision to support a Republican in the 7th congressional district, but I sell beer specifically to Democrats, and it really was a hard decision for me to make. I was really worried about that, and so I wanted to talk to you because you had to do the same thing. You had to buck your party. And I think because you did the right thing, you thought this Act 10 was just probably too much, going too far, and I wanted to kind of get back to that. That was seemingly, at least to me, the first, like, that was where Dale Schultz, you know, stood up, and maybe it was before that. I mean, I don't know Wisconsin history, but to me, that's like where Dale Schultz stood up and roared and said, "This is me. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to put Wisconsin before my party."
Well, I'd like to think that over 32 years, that was who I was all the time. It just didn't seem to be quite so controversial. You know, I was always very proud of the fact that I was perennially one of the biggest vote getters in the state facing tough challenges. And I always told people that my secret was that I had a lot of Democratic friends who maybe disagreed with me on a lot of issues, but they trusted me and they wanted to succeed with their friends and neighbors. And they knew the way to get things done in a small rural community was to band together, overlook our differences, see them as actually strengths, and to discuss where we wanted to go and then get there. And, you know, I'm listening to Ty. I'm thinking, you give this guy enough time with some people in that district and they're going to follow him. And I think that's exciting. And it's what kept me in politics all those years. It just, there comes a time when you go, it's time to leave. And 32 years was a long run. And I cherish it. And I remembered it a lot tonight. And I hope I can reminisce about it for many more reunions.
Well, I certainly look forward to reading the book that you haven't yet told us you're going to write. You know, I was a deputy district attorney in Los Angeles. I wasn't remotely political, but we would have the best conversations at lunch, people from all different political perspectives, and we would just talk about ideas. And what I'm hearing you say, and you and Pat reminiscing, is so refreshing. This idea that, you know, no one party has a monopoly on the right answer and the best answers to complex problems pull from both sides. And you need both sides to bring their A game so that the good solutions will shake out. But, you know, I'm thinking, is this an issue of leadership? Is this generational? I mean, how do we get that back in our political discourse?
Well, I think it's just common sense. And I think it's out there. It's just been a long time since anybody spoke to it. You know, I always felt that when I listened to other people who may be of a different political persuasion than me, that I had an opportunity to learn something. I also hoped that when my friends listened to me, that they also saw it as an opportunity to learn something. And when we finished that process, hopefully we came up with the best possible solution. That's the kind of aspirational politics that I believe in and that I think in many ways is a tradition in this state. You know, you talked a little bit about progressivism before. Well, if you look where the wellspring of progressivism was in Wisconsin, it was up in Eau Claire with the Knowles boys in New Richmond. And it was down in my part of the state in Sauk County with the La Follettes. You know, I'm a pretty conservative guy, but I got some awful long progressive streaks in me. And I think it's a kind of a reflection of where I came from. And as long as I channeled the will of the people around me, I was in pretty good shape and it worked for 32 years. What can I say?
So the question is, and we've been really positive so far, and I'm so happy that we have. It really like warms my heart, but I really think that the audience needs to hear from you. Like I, you know, and obviously I'm progressive and I'm a Democrat, but I really think that one side of the aisle is lying, you know, is taking up a mantle of telling untruths and being dishonest. A lot of politicians are dishonest, but I think you might agree that I think the Republicans have gone off the rails a bit in Wisconsin and nationally. And I wanted to hear if you agree with that, what do you think needs to happen to get them back on track?
Well, I think what Ty's doing is what has to happen. We have to challenge a lot of these people who have decided that they're going to decide who gets to be a Republican and what they should think. You know, where I come from, people are pretty proud of being independent and being a good Norwegian. I know you believe that, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? We need to call these people out, and we need to tell them, you don't get to decide who's a Republican. And the Republican Party has ebbed and flowed over the years and meant very different things to people. But if all you can do is say, he's a fake Republican, or he's nothing but a rhino, then you really don't have much to contribute to a conversation that people want to hear about the issues that affect them, the kitchen table issues, putting food on the table, being able to send a child to the university, or afford good health care. Those are the things that people want to hear about. And if we focus on those things and get past the name calling, I think we've got real fertile territory. And I think Ty's got the right stuff.
And hopefully he would do something that you don't see often enough. And that is stand up, you know, to your own caucus or in your own caucus and say something like, hey, guys, let's think about it this way. And so I want to see if I can draw out of you maybe one or two examples of times. We often don't get to talk about what happens behind closed caucus doors. So I'm going to go first and then see if there's anything that you care to share. The two examples immediately come to mind. One is when another freshman, Jim Sullivan, and I proposed that we were going to run as reformers and that we were going to have the Iowa nonpartisan model of redistricting. And our majority leader at the time basically, you know, threw an F-bomb at us and said, nope, we're going to win in 2010 and we're going to draw the maps. Well, we know how well that worked out for the Democratic caucus. But the story I like to tell more is that, again, it was Senator Sullivan. We were clearly the more moderate Democrats in our caucus. And when they were working on the Healthy Wisconsin Healthcare Reform Initiative in 2007, we were adamant that there had to be co-pays, small, but co-pays on things. Because it would get in the way of people overutilizing the system. And one very loud Madison area senator said, you don't understand. These are people that will die if there's a copay. They don't have money. I don't have money. He then went outside, as he often does, right outside my office window, and chain smoked an entire pack of cigarettes. We can guess during the break who that is. Did you have moments like that in your caucus where it was you or somebody else that said, you need to think about this differently? And maybe you got shot down, but at least you stood your ground.
You know, it actually happened quite frequently. And I would say my piece and then put them down as undecided.
sounds about, you know, right.
One of the things I learned in politics many, many years ago is don't waste your time with people who can't be bothered with new ideas because their mind's already made up. I'm a believer in John Maynard Keynes, who said, when confronted with new information, I sometimes change my mind. And you, sir, you know, I just think that we should listen to people, be respectful. If it's appropriate, we should change your mind. And if we think we're talking to a wall, let's just put them down as undecided and go on to the next person where we have an opportunity to build a coalition.
Man, it's so healthy. It's so healthy to hear that, Dale. And I literally, you know, I get emotional when I think about growing up in Wisconsin and what we used to be as a state and where we've gotten to now. And I feel like, you know, I didn't grow up in Mississippi, but I just feel like it must be like what they feel like. I just feel like... I'm so happy that we're talking to you, and I wish we could get back to that place where we could all work together.
Well, I'm an optimist. I'm absolutely convinced that if we keep shoveling long enough, we're going to find the pony in the barn. And we just have to put our back to it and get on with it. You know, this state is still here. There are great people in the state. They work hard. They care about their neighbors. They worry about the future of this country. Yes, our economy is going through a bit of a rough patch. But, you know, I actually heard something from President Biden the other day that made me smile. He said, we're going to start paying down the national debt. When was the last time my party did that? No, every time there's a little extra money, they got to give out a tax cut. And generally, it doesn't come to the people who I used to represent, which always have made me mad. And folks I represent understand debt. The only difference is they had to pay theirs back. And they're wondering why their government can't do it. And I think it's a great thing. And I want to see a vote on that. And I want to see who votes not to pay down the national debt.
Love hearing that. Love hearing your voice. Please don't silence it anytime soon. Keep it up. And Dale Schultz, thanks again for your time. We sure appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And Pat, it's great to see you. And again, you're absolutely ageless.
Hear that, guys? Hear that? We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment. We come together.
And the stars, and under God.
we do each week. We want to thank our hosts, Devil Radio 92.7 in the Madison area and in the Waukesha, Milwaukee area, WAUK 540 AM and the Shaw 101.1 FM. You can use their Devil Radio app to listen to our show on demand anytime.
And you can find my daily work over at UpNorthNewsWI.com or search UpNorthNewsWI on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can catch our new UpNorth News Daily updates here on the radio, 7:30 weekday mornings, 5:30 in the evenings, and then scattered throughout the day as well.
So, man, I'm an emotional guy. I'm not gonna lie. The last couple segments just made me pine for a time that is not now, that we could all work together and work and be arm in arm and, you know, and Republican or Democrat and do good for the world. I picked that song because it's like the most country, seemingly Republican song you could possibly find when you're talking about rural, you're talking about hanging the flag, you're talking about country and country, America, that song is American and rural and awesome. And I wish we could all put country over party or Wisconsin over party. And I can't wait to get to that place. And that's why I wanted to end with this. Guys, give me an example of the time that you chose Wisconsin over party or America over party in your professional political lives. Pat, you go first.
Well, the first thing that came to mind, and I'm sure there's other examples, but and this one isn't as uniquely partisan, but for those folks that remember, my first year in the legislature, 2007, was the year of the smoking ban debate. And Democrats had just taken control of both houses and had the governorship. Everybody thought it would be a slam dunk to, you know, rush a ban through that would take effect in, say, you know, 90 days or 30 days, something like that. And a lot of people in my caucus were really shocked and very angry at me when I basically pulled the emergency brake and said, slow this thing down, because I'm hearing from, you know, bar owners and restaurant owners in my district that are absolutely petrified and they need a longer window in case they want to sell the business or whatnot. Well, I mean, one group in favor of the smoking ban that, you know, favored my election, ran ads against me, you know, to say, tell Pat Kreitlow, we need a smoking ban right now. Well, that's not the way it worked. We ended up with, I think, 18 months or something to phase it in. It's still fine. You no longer have to throw your clothes in the washing machine as soon as you come back from a bar. And we didn't jam it down people's throats. So it's not the best, most partisan example, but that was definitely one where I took a lot of heat from my party for sticking up for my district.
Sarah, yeah. Tell us your story.
So in the spirit of Senator Schultz and sort of listening to understand, I've got an example there that actually hits close to home with my husband. So, you know, as a little kid, I asked, you know, what's abortion all about? And my grandmother said, you know, government doesn't have a right to tell you what to do with your body. Okay, fine. End of story. And, you know, my babies were babies at the moment I saw the pregnancy test. But I always thought, if you don't like abortions, don't get an abortion. So my husband says, that's like saying to someone, if you don't like murder, just don't commit murder. Of course, we're going to have crimes on the book for murder. And it really sort of took me back of, okay, and understanding this perspective and really sort of understanding how you can value life but still protect bodily autonomy, and, you know, understanding that banning abortion doesn't end abortion, it just ends safe abortions and women will die. And so kind of working on bridging that gap between the two narratives and the two poles and just getting us back to some sanity where most of America is, ironically enough.
And obviously my story is, we just brought Ty Cornelius on the show. And I've mentioned it a few times. It was really a hard decision for me to make. I think I made the right decision for Wisconsin, not the right decision necessarily for the Democratic Party.
But again, it's the kind of thing everybody has to do at one point or another. Any of us who have had a conversation at a supper club with friends we've been challenged to think differently about something because we're hearing it from somebody we care about. And it's those conversations that are going to, as Dale said, get us back together. And so let's have more of that. So with that, it's time for us to go. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Kirk. Thanks to our guests, Dr. Kristen Lierley, Ty Cornelius, former State Senator Dale Schultz. We'll see you next week. Won't you let me die?